Welcome to Journal Club for December 31st, 2024. I'm Malcolm Dix. Computational cost and implementation analysis of a wavelet-based edge computing method for energy harvesting industrial IoT sensors. There is a lot going on in that title. Let's break it down at a high level to get the lay of the land, then we'll go deeper. Have you ever wanted to make a video call but your phone was too low on battery? What did you do in that case? If it was urgent, you probably fell back to an audio call. If the battery was too low for that, you might have just sent a text instead. If it wasn't urgent, you might have just waited until your phone was charged. This kind of decision tree makes sense because each option sends a different amount of data, and sending data consumes energy. When you don't have much energy, you shouldn't send much data. If you have more energy, you can send more data, and sometimes it makes sense to send just a bit, knowing that you'll be able to follow it up with many more details when you have more power. That same kind of branching logic is what's happening in this paper. Instead of you needing to use your phone but it having low battery, we're looking at IoT sensors that need to send data but don't have enough energy. Why don't they have enough energy at the moment? Because these kinds of sensors use something called energy harvesting instead of plugging into a wall. They might get their energy from solar panels or thermoelectric generators or any number of ways that we'll explore later. The point is, they don't have enough power to send all the data they're collecting. So these sensors need a way to adjust their network throughput based on the energy available to the device at the time. So when they're low on power, they want to send less data. When they're high on power, they want to send more data. When they're high on power, they also want to be able to follow up on previous transmissions to fill in details that they didn't send earlier. That's what this paper is about. There are a number of ways that this could be accomplished, but these authors' particular implementation utilizes wavelet transforms as part of the data preparation process. With that under our belt, let's look at the title again. Computational Cost and Implementation Analysis of a Wavelet-Based Edge Computing Method for Energy Harvesting Industrial IoT Sensors is roughly equivalent to a way for IoT sensors to compress the data they're sending based on how much energy they're getting from the environment at the time. That's the gist. Now we can go a bit deeper. We're going to start by exploring the problem these authors are trying to solve. Then we'll talk about the theoretical foundations of their solution, wavelets and various types of wavelet transforms. Then we'll review their implementation, how they tested it, and the results they obtained. So, what problem are they actually solving here? The first thing you need to know is that if you're running a modern industrial production facility or a warehouse of some kind, you are up to your eyeballs in sensors. You've got sensors for temperature to tell if your equipment is overheating. You've got vibration sensors that monitor machine health and detect early signs of wear. You've got pressure sensors to tell if a pipe is leaking or blocked. You've got optical sensors and acoustic sensors. You've got proximity sensors and motion sensors. Humidity sensors, gas sensors, light sensors, strain sensors. I feel like Dr. Seuss right now. The point is, the list goes on and on. This is the physical manifestation of observability and telemetry. This is how a production facility populates a dashboard of metrics. This is how they keep their machines running in top shape. Nearly every physical phenomenon that can be measured is being measured all the time. And every one of those sensors requires some kind of power, either to perform the reading or to send its data out, or both. Some of the sensors can plug into the wall, but for many of them, that would either be a burden or just impractical. So they try to get their energy from the environment instead. This is what we call energy harvesting. There are four popular methods for doing that. 1. Solar energy, capturing light using photovoltaic cells. 2. Thermal energy, utilizing temperature differences via thermoelectric generators. 3. Kinetic energy, harnessing motion or vibrations through piezoelectric materials. And 4. Radio frequency energy, converting ambient electromagnetic waves from Wi-Fi, cell towers, or other sources into power. These options are not created equal. They do not all generate the same amount of power. The choice of one or the other depends mostly on the context of the implementation. For example, one machine in a factory might have a vibration sensor attached to it, as I mentioned earlier. In that particular situation, powering the sensors with kinetic energy might make the most sense. In general, assume that an average high-tech facility will have many sensors and will be using a variety of energy harvesting techniques to power them. We can also assume that any given sensor may or may not have significant energy flowing to it at any given time. The energy source may be intermittent or peaky. Normally, this is where a battery pack would come in. You store energy in good times, and you use it during bad times. And that's where these systems are different. Many of these sensors are batteryless. There is no backup supply to even out the energy curve. So energy flowing into the sensor is use it or lose it. The overarching problem here should be coming into focus now. These sensors always need to send data, but they don't always have the power to send very much of it. At any given time, the sensor is going to be in one of three states: zero power, low power, or high power. If it has zero power, there's nothing to be done. It's off. When it's got high power, you can have it send whatever you want. The work these researchers have done is in designing a system that sends a minimal amount of data when there's low power, and fills in some of the missing pieces later. Before a sensor sends its data out to a server or another IoT node, they first need to compress it. The contribution of this research is a mechanism for pre-processing the data just before compression. This pre-processing step chooses the type and resolution of data to send out for compression based on how much power is available. And that's where wavelet transforms come in. Wavelets are mathematical functions that are designed to analyze data at different scales or resolutions. Think of a camera with different zoom levels or lenses. When you zoom in, you can see more detail but less of the whole context. And when you zoom out, you see the whole picture but fewer details. That's like a wavelet adjusting its focus to capture both the fine details or the broader trends of a signal. A wavelet transform uses these wavelets to break a signal into its components, separating coarse or low-frequency information, that's the big picture stuff, from finer, high-frequency details, those are the small nuances. This decomposition allows for efficient analysis while still preserving the essential characteristics of the signal. These authors use two types of transforms. The discrete wavelet transform, DWT, which provides precise signal decomposition at the cost of higher computational complexity, and the fast wavelet transform, FWT, an optimized version that trades some flexibility for speed and energy efficiency, making it better suited for low power, resource constrained scenarios. The authors use these two mechanisms just before the compression process to filter out or include details based on how much energy the system has. When it's low energy, the system says, let's just compress the big picture data. And when it's high energy, it says, let's compress all of it. Wavelet transforms are the mechanism that allows them to cleanly separate and pick the parts of the data stream that they want to send. And in a low power scenario, it lets them send the gist for now and follow it up with details later. And that's the whole system. To test this idea, the authors implemented their method on an ARM Cortex-M7 microcontroller in both C and assembly. They evaluated its performance using industrial vibration data from a washing machine, assessing computational speed, energy consumption, and signal quality at various compression levels. Here's how it did. Their system succeeded in dynamically adjusting the sent data based on energy availability. It transmitted only critical low-frequency data during low-energy conditions and added high-frequency details later when energy improved. The results showed that their approach significantly reduced computational costs and energy use, but importantly, the compressed signals still retained enough resolution to allow for predictive maintenance of the machine. This demonstrated that the method did not err too far on the side of sparsity. Whether in a low power condition or not, it continued to send enough data to be useful. If you'd like to check out their implementation, their GitHub is linked in the paper. The article also includes a lot more details about their experimental setup and all the math behind the system they built. So if you'd like to dive into that, please do download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you next year.